Welcome to this podcast by the Research Institute of Industrial Economics in Stockholm, Sweden. My name is Elisabeth Precht, and with me here in the studio is Bojan Janovic, Professor of Economics, New York University. Professor Janovic received his bachelor's and master's degrees from London School of Economics and doctoral degree from University of Chicago. Professor Jovanovic, welcome to Stockholm and Sweden.
Thank you.
Yesterday you received the Global Award for Entrepreneurship Research 2019. What does this award mean to you, and what will you do with the money?
Oh, with the money, I'll just put it in the bank. I have trouble spending the money that I do have already, and I want to save it for my old age and for my when my son grows up, for him.
Great.
And it's recognition is always nice to get. Nice to know that people like some of the stuff that I've done.
Yes. When you got the phone call that you had been awarded the Global Award, what was your first thought? Did you know about the award?
I must say that I did not know about it, and I wasn't entirely surprised that entrepreneurship would be the field, because I have done a lot of stuff in entrepreneurship, so that maybe that would be a field that would recognize. And I think I got the call in February, and I was very nice, pleasantly surprised that, when Martin called.
That is Professor Martin Andersson.
Yes.
The chairman of the prize committee.
That's right.
Yes. So if we go back in time a bit, you were born in what today is Serbia.
Right.
And which was Yugoslavia at that time, yeah. With its very special kind of communism. You went to school, if I've been reading up on you, you went to school in Ethiopia, where your
yes.
parents worked as medical doctors.
Right.
Is that right? Yes. And you went to boarding school in Britain.
Yes.
Did any part of your upbringing make you interested in entrepreneurship?
No, not until later, because the entrepreneurship work that I've done comes really from my mathematical background, which I acquired only later on after I got to the London School of Economics. So before that, I hadn't done anything self-employed, really. I hadn't taken any employment risks, as far as I remember. And I must say that it came later.
Okay. So what did you know about entrepreneurs in your youth? I mean, it's very different countries that you lived in.
In Serbia, in Yugoslavia, as it was then, we had some people standing on street corners and selling stuff even back then, but you saw more of that in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, which I guess they would be called entrepreneurs. That would be the analog, the equivalent of someone having a corner store here in a bigger city and uh-huh. selling something. I'm not sure that I had a definite opinion about entrepreneurs until later.
Yes. Are you in contact, in any context, with Serbia today?
Yes, I am, because I go there every year to teach 1 week in their master's program in finance. They have an international master's in quantitative finance degree that I've been teaching in since 2004, I guess about 15 years. And I do that partly to stay in touch with the family that I have in Serbia, but also to be in Belgrade, which I like to visit, since that's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. What is the status of entrepreneurs in Serbia today?
Well, I only know Belgrade. Unfortunately,
okay.
I don't travel beyond that. But Belgrade is becoming very rapidly a tourist center. It's on the Danube. It's on actually the estuary of the where the two rivers join, the Sava River and the Danube, and boats come from Vienna through Budapest, and they stop in Belgrade, and tourists come out, and they're welcomed in a certain part of the city. But you mm-hmm. can even see the contrast between the part that they visit and the rest of Belgrade, which is further south, which is not that well developed.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more and more money in Belgrade.
It's more and more money, and more yeah. and more entrepreneurs.
Well, I think that any the sort of entrepreneurship would be hotels. We have new hotels from outside that are being built because there's demand for them. I'm not sure what other businesses, how much of our, there's still a brain drain, let me put it that way.
Okay.
Which has been a problem for a long time in Yugoslavia to begin with and Serbia today, that some of the best minds are working abroad.
Mm-hmm. And they are still moving away, the youth.
I don't know, I don't have the numbers, but that's my sense, that we still are not holding them, keeping them in Serbia as much as we probably should try to.
Yes, I see. So, to a bit more to your research, we talk a lot today about climate change, integration of refugees, growing economic inequality, an aging population, and also a changing job market with artificial intelligence and automation and so on. In all these discussions, you very rarely hear anything about entrepreneurship. Should entrepreneurship be part of how we discuss today how society is changing and what could happen or what we hope will happen with the society?
With entrepreneurship, people often mean different things. Maybe they mean people inventing something really new and acting on it, or someone who's just holding a corner store. All of those guys are entrepreneurs. So one thing I want to say about Sweden is that I've heard since coming here that there were several important new products that were invented. I think Spotify was one of them.
Yes.
And a few others. And then after being invented here, they were taken over and developed elsewhere. And I was thinking to myself as I heard that, what models do I know, either mine or other people's, about that process? And two things came to mind, that in Sweden you have a sort of welfare state. To some extent, you have a safety net. So anyone that tries something risky and fails is going to at least be protected to some degree, which is going to encourage risk-taking by those that can have the funds to begin with to amass some resources. They might lose those funds, but then they won't be starving. That's one point. But the second point is that to develop an idea, there was some discussion today at lunch over there, that to develop it, well, you need the wherewithal for that, and that's not just creativity. You need to have some experience with the other inputs that are needed to implement this technology. You need some hardware. You need some people to develop it further, to push it, to sell it, and so on. And existing companies may have that, and maybe it's not such a bad thing if the idea, once it's developed, is sold. And if over here you concentrate on the new stuff, you don't have to insist on developing each and everything that you've invented here. Although it has some employment consequences, that maybe there will be fewer jobs created by those ideas in Sweden. On the other hand, I'm not so sure that you should prevent that mechanism from continuing, because if you didn't have it, the value to inventing the idea in the first place would be lower, because the guy that invented Spotify would not have been able to sell it. He might have said, well, maybe I won't bother to develop, even developing this idea to the extent that I might, since I won't be able to do anything mm-hmm. much with it mm-hmm. here in Sweden.
Do you think there are certain societies that are good in developing companies from small, growing to mid-sized, growing to large, or some societies that are better, as you say, if Sweden, perhaps we are better at just inventing, and then somebody else takes the company over?
Okay, so then it's going to be hard to generalize. So I'm thinking of the research of Steve Klepper, who won this prize maybe 7-8 years ago, who's no longer with us, unfortunately. But one of the reasons why he won it was that he studied the beginnings of what was then a new technology, which was automobiles, the diesel. I guess the diesel was the analog of what was successful for that technology, and it started around Detroit. Now, why Detroit? Why not in Florida? Why not in Texas? Well, because around Detroit there had been the carriage companies, and there may be one or two other industries were focused with the antecedents of that. So some of the automobile technology required an exterior, and that exterior was already being produced for the carriages. And so those people could be moved easily from, if it was downstate Illinois, if it was Indiana, I'm not sure, or maybe even Michigan, where the carriage industry was concentrated, but it was close by. And you can see that with any new technology, it develops close to where the previous technology was implemented, where you could use some of those inputs, which fits the image that I said before, that Spotify, to implement it, needed some other more ordinary inputs that you could have in a country that has the previous technologies implemented already. Or say a pharmaceutical idea, you know, someone like Pfizer has done a lot of it. He knows where the suppliers are, or the bottles, of the packaging, of all of that you can put together. And so maybe that's why the ideas might get sold to the United States, where the previous technologies have been developed for. So I would say that the natural place to develop products is where they already have the previous technologies have already been developed. Although that's like a chicken and egg thing, you know, what comes first and how do you begin developing something so you can develop the next generation? I don't have an answer to that. But given that the United States is where that's happening now, and some other countries in Europe too, I wouldn't be surprised if Germany would have some expertise in that, or in some other technologies, and that some of the ideas that are invented here would be sold to Germany as well as to the United States and maybe to Britain.
I see. What, in your opinion, is needed to make entrepreneurship flourish in a society?
Well, everyone talks about liquidity constraints. You know, if you need to even to start a corner store, you might need money for the rent and to buy some equipment for it. If you want to be a barber and start your barber shop, you need to buy the barber's chair and all that equipment. You might not be able to borrow that given the money that you have. So one wonders how one can make that process easier. And it's difficult unless the lender can evaluate your prospects. And that's why the venture capital industry is populated. The venture capitalists are people with some experience in the technology itself or related businesses, or at least in the management of business, so they can get a sense of what's worth investing in. So liquidity constraints are a big deal, and capitalism has various ways of dealing with it. I'm not sure how well overall.
In your research, you show this, that and also that capital is essential, and also that wealthy individuals more often become entrepreneurs than less wealthy. Are they also better entrepreneurs?
So surprisingly, so first of all, that research came to me through my co-author, who was an expert in the data of who starts what and when. So he had data on panel data, when you follow individuals from one period to the next and see what activities they do. And he had already worked on by himself and with Linda Layton on finding out empirically who goes where. And then it was his idea that we should look at the wealth experience, and I did just the modeling. I did the modeling as well as the likelihood function, but not the empirical work itself. So the idea wasn't mine, I must say. The model was something I contributed. And the question you asked is what was the question exactly?
The question is that if wealthy individuals more often become entrepreneurs, are they also the better entrepreneurs?
So surprisingly, we found the opposite. So I was just looking at the result that when you looked at that correlation between the what we estimated to be the ability of the unobserved ability of an entrepreneur and their wealth, it was negatively correlated, which points to some surprising things to me. The idea it gave me is the following, and I actually talked about it 2 days ago, which is the following idea: that if you are going to be an entrepreneur and you're going to start, you need some money. And where did you get that money? Well, you did it by working for somebody else. And so if you're a talented worker, you're going to have accumulated more money, and then you have it in order to start the new business. But if the money you've accumulated is negatively correlated with your entrepreneurial ability, then it means that your ability to work for other people is itself negatively correlated with, if savings are as a worker are related to working ability, that itself seems to be negatively correlated with your entrepreneurial ability, which seems to point to a psychological defect or a psychological trait that we have, which is that some people like to order other people around and tell people what to do, but are not so good at taking orders from other people. There is just someone naturally a leader, and someone who cannot, that someone might not be able to. work for someone else unless he is given, he or she is given a lot of freedom in what they are doing. And so there might be some negative relation in the abilities themselves.
Mm. So what can be done to make sure that people that can become the best of entrepreneurs also have the chance to be entrepreneurs?
Other than giving money to the right people, also letting maybe what there isn't enough of. And so I can't say let's have a helicopter deposit money on entrepreneurs because you don't know who those guys are. So instead of that,
yes.
I would say that one thing I'm almost positive that there's too little of in society is too little information sharing among people who can do that. There is evidence now that people who work with better coworkers learn more. Maybe also better employers, they learn more. If that's the case, why limit that experience to coworkers in the same company? Can there be ways to stretch that a little bit? And I think Silicon Valley is an indicator that yes, there is a way of that, doing that. That's one reason why those companies are located together. Of course, there's another reason that if venture capitalist is going to make a trip and visit two or three firms at the same time, then it'll be nice if they're located in the same place. That's another theory of agglomeration of some activities.
Networking is what you're...
So yes, I guess that's the word I was looking for, networking.
Yes.
Which somehow maybe there isn't enough of, as far as I know, but
yes.
Not an expert on it.
Mm-hmm. Have you, during your time as an entrepreneurship researcher, seen any change in entrepreneurship?
Well, in the very, as everyone knows, the very advent of the internet has changed how quickly you can act on things. It has its own difficulties because if you don't act quickly on something, the opportunity might disappear. Somebody else is going to take advantage of it. So I'm not sure. I haven't analyzed that, the speed up in the reaction times that are needed before people. So that's one thing that's changed. And I must say that there must be models out there in which you shrink the length of the period and see what happens. It's been a while since I thought about such things and cannot answer it definitely now. But that would be one thing that's different. You have to act faster in order to stay afloat, even. That hasn't been reflected in the length of the patent system in the United States. I think it's still 18 years of protection. So that's protecting your idea. If you do create one from competition, to the extent that it can be protected legally, of course, that happens less and less, especially with the advent of the globalization, as you know.
Yes.
The market for a product is becoming global, and you can't enforce your laws in other countries as easily, so there's more copying, which is shortening the profit stream from a given idea, but increasing it for others. So I don't know how I would say that. The paper I talked about yesterday during the prize has some rudimentary treatment of that very, very toy model that I presented. But as I'm talking about it, I realize that I might be able to stretch it a bit better, that toy model.
Okay. So my last question to you is, if you have any advice that you could give to a person who's thinking about, perhaps I should try to be an entrepreneur.
Well, I was asked that this morning by somebody else who did some kind of an interview, and my advice is so from the models that I have, anytime you're trying to learn about yourself or about how well you're doing at something, don't get discouraged by initial failures. It might be just the luck of the draw that this time you didn't produce, you know, didn't maybe satisfy this customer, but maybe next time you will, and maybe the next time after that you will. So. You give yourself some leeway there, because if it turns out that after a while you really cannot do a good job with the flow of customers that you have, then you can quit and do something else. But until you found that out, you should persevere. You tell your kids the same thing. You say, well, okay, try it again and see whether you can do it. You don't give up so easily. And so that's one thing that comes out of the mathematical models that you're doing, that early on, and everybody knows this, everyone who studied the Bandit model, who studied these kind of models, knows that initially there is an experimentation period that you find it should be optimal to do and should not get discouraged by early failures. That's one thing that I would say. And then secondarily, don't get discouraged by your inability to go all the way down the line with an idea. You might be able to sell it to someone. But I'm sure if someone that's something that's very, very new, it might not be so clear at the beginning who can take it over, who can manage it later. That's the role of a venture capitalist also. A lot of founders are not really able to manage their own ideas. And the role of these older, experienced guys is to make that happen. So my guess would be that the venture capitalist industry is developing here in Stockholm, in Sweden. And as that continues to grow, maybe they'll be better at matching people who can invent things to people who can manage them, even here within Sweden. But that too takes some experience. So my guess would be that now that I'm saying it, that the flow abroad of these ideas is going to be reduced as the venture capitalist industry develops here even further.
Mm. So it's a positive future, you would say, for entrepreneurship.
I would think, given the amount of thought that I've heard this week by the institutes that I've visited, everyone is constantly thinking about how they can make that, speed that thing up. And so given that, I have no doubt that you guys will succeed in doing it. You've been successful in so many other things. Why not that too?
Yes. Thank you, Professor Jovanovic, for talking to us about your work. And thank you to all the listeners of this podcast made by the Research Institute of Industrial Economics in Stockholm, Sweden.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.